Hey, listeners, thanks for tuning into the podcast. I just want to take a moment to mention the podcast sponsor, retrogamestore.com.au. Head over there for all your Game Boy refurbish and repair needs. Screens, shells, buttons, all the bits and pieces. And there's a complete custom build made to order service as well. Also, plenty more retro gaming goodness like video cables, display stand and power supplies, controllers, etc. And you can add the code PixelPie at checkout to get 10% off your order. Also, take a moment to say if you enjoyed this episode and haven't already, give it a subscribe or follow and a review where you can. And maybe you want to recommend the Pixel Pie podcast to anyone you know that would enjoy it. That'd be really appreciated. So thanks for listening. And now let's get on with the show.
Hey, this is the D-Pad Dad, and you're listening to the Pixel Pie podcast.
Hello, Matt, the D-Pad Dad. How are you, buddy?
Hey, doing good, Scott. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks very much for sitting down and having a chat with me. I'm drinking SodaStream because I have things to do in the afternoon. And you've got an IPA because it's like 9 p.m. on a Friday for you. So we're both happy. That's what matters.
That's right. Time to unwind.
It is. the D-Pad Dad, I mean, I'm a dad. I like D-pads. So when I saw that your account probably a few months back, I was like, I think this guy and I got at least a couple of things in common and probably a bunch of other stuff. So, whereabouts are you? Let's start with sort of geography and things like that.
Yeah, sure. So I'm in Ohio, in the Dayton area. So it's near Cincinnati, I guess, that people are from the United States. You in Australia, you might not have any idea where that
is. Yeah, I mean, YouTube makes it easier to know about stuff. So, yeah, I watch a lot of mountain biking, so that's everywhere. So keep going.
Yeah. I guess I moved up here a dozen years ago or so.
Yep.
10 or 12 years ago, my wife and I, we're from Kentucky originally, I guess. Mm-hmm. So moved up here for the career and didn't look back. Started growing roots.
And you're obviously a dad, so you have at least one child.
Yeah, we have two kids, almost 6 year old son, and our daughter is about 3 and a half.
Yeah, cool. They're both really fun ages. We've only got the one daughter, and both those ages being those, so there's some turning points for the children with mobility and just stuff going on. I mean, there's something going on every day, isn't there? But you're getting like, it's like trying to watch two different series of TV at one time and trying to remember the plot for each one as you switch back and forth.
Yeah. And it's interesting to see, you know, how they react to things different and the different, you know, even at the younger ages, you can see what they're gravitating to more than the other one did and things like that. So it's all very interesting. It's really cool.
Yeah. Diets must be interesting. I mean, we're very fortunate. Our daughter will ask for raw broccoli in her lunchbox to snack on, you know. And I guarantee I don't know a single person whose child asked for that. So with the two children, you must be like, this one just likes chips and this one just likes cheese. And, you know, 6 months later they swap. You're like, okay, can't keep up with you people.
No, it's kind of funny. Recently they're kind of on a hard-boiled egg kick.
Oh, wicked.
But one of them, my daughter likes the whites and my son likes the yolk. So we just split one egg and they just eat different parts of it.
That's exciting, isn't
it?
Like
the perfect exemplification of what I was just saying.
Yeah. Cool. So, I guess we won't bore everybody with our old man father stuff. The first post I saw of yours, I think it was the first post. It would have been around it. It's one of, this is from August last year. And you've got, you're sort of standing maybe out in your lawn and you've got this big gray Game Boy, like a fanny pack, kind of sitting on the right hip there. And I was like, Oh, this dude loves his gear, or he's super serious, or maybe a bit of both. I guess that's when I kind of went through your account and went, oh, wow, that's kind of cool. And from there on, it's just a lot of Game Boys and a lot of D-pads. You know, there's always that the sort of Halloween thing and some really nice photography. I think it just shows that you're as much, probably as much a collector as I am. I would never have the collection you have. I mean, you've got some color, swan colors and Wonder Swans and a bunch of other kind of like, this is not my final form Game Boy type accessories. Some of that stuff is just so cool what they put out. And obviously most of it went nowhere. So, yeah, I mean, if you want to just sort of take us through, you know, just like, were you like a sort of a big gamer when you were a kid? You know, do you still have much of your old stuff, or is this something that later in life you decided, I've got this old one, and that just turns into like a room full of stuff, you know, 5 years later?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, I grew up in a Nintendo household, and I mean NES, original Nintendo, right? So Famicom, right?
Yeah, right.
So I'm probably dating myself, you know. So that was our first console we had, and then we got a Game Boy, and then we got a Super Nintendo, and we kind of stayed in that Nintendo trajectory there. Got an N64, like the first Christmas it came out.
You got brothers awesome. And sisters?
You know, so yeah, I've got an older brother. He's about 3.5 or 4 years older than I am. So
So perfect for hand-me-downs. Yeah,
sometimes, you know, he would play some and I would be more watching at the younger, especially at the NES level. You know what I mean? Those games are quite hard, right, yeah, for little kids. But
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and then I guess, you know, so I always enjoyed gaming, and I had kind of that foundation. And then there was a while where I kind of didn't have much, you know, quite a number of years. But I still kind of stuck with it, and I kind of found roots again in emulation and things like that, you know, trying to play a lot of games that I remembered from being a kid, like on a PC and things like that.
Yeah.
So I dabbled in emulation and stuff like that for more than 20 years, you know.
So what were you, what was your sort of emulation like /hardware? Because I did a lot on just like Raspberry Pi 3B plus, and that's kind of where I came in. And for me, it was just about the challenge of working with shaders and trying to get, you know, on an LCD screen and, you know, 8-bit O controllers and stuff. And I'd done a little bit on PC with MAME 10 to 15 years ago, and it was tricky, but it was a real achievement when you pulled it off. So what was kind of your emulation journey, I guess?
Yeah, it was kind of for a long time. I mean, it was just PC only. I'd be playing games with keyboards instead of controllers. I mean,
for sure. You know,
so I'd be playing Marvel versus Capcom on a QWERTY keyboard. So. I was doing that for a long time, and obviously it's a cheap way to go. But then I kind of got back into, okay, I kind of like the feel of and the nostalgia, obviously, of physical gaming consoles and things like that, handheld things like that. So I kind of got back into it in that way. And then a few years ago, I started kind of going a little crazy collecting Game Boy games and things like that. I've got 300 or something, maybe.
Of the games?
For original Game Boy, a lot of Game Boy Color and Game Boy Advance games and stuff like that. So then it kind of, and then I was like, well, you know, I saw the cool technology that was coming out with the backlit screens, and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, well, I kind of want to start building those. That's how I kind of got into it. Probably pretty similar to a lot of people.
Okay, so you've done a fair bit of modding yourself, so to speak, then, not just buying and collecting.
Yeah, no, everything you see on my page, I've built and modded. So.
Right. What about the micros? Because you seem to have quite a few of those sprinkled through your feed.
Yeah. So I got them. I've got the two micros currently. Okay. Sold a couple that were in even worse condition than these were, and probably for less than they should have been sold for. But you know, the game stuff has exploded the last few years, you know. Trying to collect the games that I have now, even would be three times more expensive than it was when I was starting to do it. And I kind of got in at the right time, maybe, or I don't know. Ask my wife, she might say I got in at the wrong time.
Yeah, that's right. Anybody that got in the last couple of years is, why is this this way? And it's like, because we all jumped in at the same time. We should have talked this through.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been exacerbated, I think, by COVID and everything. Sure. You know, but the silver lining for a lot of people is they get to kind of maybe spend some more time if they're not commuting to work doing hobbies and stuff. I know that's been the case for me. So,
Yeah, such a common thread. I think it's weird. It's really been quite a godsend for not just the physical, not just the hobby of doing it, but the amount of people that, you know, like almost every person that I've spoken to on the podcast has said, this little kind of group of people, like whether it be a core half a dozen, have got me through the last couple of years where I lost my job or I had to work from home and it drove me bonkers. And just having these people to kind of communicate with about something that you have in common. I mean, I only know of a few local people that I could talk like this about this kind of topic with. But apart from that, this was my hobby that I loved. I'd be out wandering around the desert all on my own without a community. So it's interesting how these little things have had such a, like have been the real glue for, because there's so much crap going on. So much crap, but not, all of it's just exacerbated by people that don't have hobbies. That's a problem. People need more hobbies.
Yeah, so I've had a really good experience with the community. I'm only on Instagram. You know, I mean, I'm on like some Facebook group or something too, but not as you know, my Instagram persona or whatever it is.
Yes, I mean,
but so I pretty much just stick on Instagram, I'm not on TikTok or YouTube really or anything like that or Twitch. I don't stream. I should say I don't do any of those things yet. I don't know what the future holds, but and I've honestly only been on Instagram since like last March or last April or something like that. So I've been really excited to be kind of part of to be kind of like welcomed into the community, and I think I've found some success doing what, you know, kind of what I do on my page. But I think it's only because, you know, there's so many other people who I've kind of built the community, and I can just step in and, you know, be part of it. You know,
Yeah.
It takes a lot longer for those people who have been here for a long time to, kind of get that started, that foundation.
We stand on the shoulders of tall people or something. I can't remember the saying now. I mean, I'm just flicking while we're chatting. I'm just flicking through like, it's hard to actually see the same Game Boy twice. So you've certainly got a good roster. There's no doubt about that. I think I've seen the same gold light twice. You've got a gold and a silver light together. Two lights together. Boy, that's pretty sweet. But yeah, you just
I think I've got four of those maybe.
Oh, good one.
I've gone a little crazy.
They're kind of special, aren't they? I've got the gold one. It's in, I would say it's in like 98% mint condition. I really, really like it. And it's just, it's this sort of weird thing about Nintendo. Like people whinge about, I don't own a Switch. We don't own a Switch. Probably another 5 years, I'll probably own a Switch. Because I've just got so much else I can do, I guess. But it's like people whinge about how it didn't go 1080 or HD or something with the new Switch and stuff and the Switch Lite and all that stuff. And you look at it and you go, yeah, but it took Nintendo like nearly 10 years to backlight a screen. Like they went DMG, then they went Pocket, and they're like, all right, we'll backlight one.
Yeah.
This is how Nintendo does it. They kind of incrementally kind of like keep taking your money every few years. So the light is this weird.
Yeah, they've always kind of gone their own way.
So the light is just that really magic thing at the end.
Yeah, they kind of have always gone their own way, and it hits or misses. I mean, if you remember like the Virtual Boy, I mean, that did not take off.
That is
awesome. They've always been big on accessories and trying to push the envelope into weird new ways and things like that. I think that's pretty cool. I'm not big on like motion controls and things like that. So
yeah,
it's a pit or touch screen controls on like DS games and things that they've tried to do. I wish there was always like the other option of using a thumbstick or a D-pad, you know what I mean, to control.
Yeah.
Instead of having to have a gimmick like that so ingrained in the game.
Yeah.
But
I do find some DS games a little tricky because you're kind of like holding the stylus kind of like between fingers where you're doing A and B, and then you got to kind of get in there and do stuff. Then it was the that weird little extra kind of nub on the new 3DS, you know, the one, it's like the extra thing for controlling. It's like, it's so weird. It's so digital and it's there, but at the same time, it's like, there's got to be another way. And the Switch was obviously the other way, you know, after they went through the Wii U, but at the time you're like, this is the best you can do. You dudes invented the D-pad. Come on.
Yeah. And I thought the Wii U was awesome. I didn't pick it up till later in its life cycle, but, you know, it had a great, I think the marketing on that one was just terrible or something. I thought it has a great game catalog, of course, because they ported all the games over into special editions for the Switch.
Yep. All the Zeldas and took all the franchises with them. And that's where I guess they're going to win. I mean, I don't follow it closely, but what does kind of seep out into my visibility is that, at least every second Nintendo game that comes out on the Switch now is a remake. So they know exactly what they're doing. They're just playing that same song, re-engineered in a new stereo, in a new studio. And, you know, now it's a 12-channel instead of a 4-channel track. They know what they're doing.
And people keep buying them. It's because the games are great and the nostalgia. I mean, I think people like Kinect with like a certain part of their lives or something like this, and they want to revisit it. I mean, I don't think that's abnormal. In fact, I mean, I think that's something that, you know, you see in movies, you see in all throughout culture. I mean, they try to reboot all the old movies,
they do.
Old TV shows.
Good, some bad. And it's easier too. I mean, you're sitting on your couch with your Switch or whatever. I mean, from, I guess, the DS, you know, once they built like virtual stores, you're sitting on the couch on your Switch, and you're like, I might just flick through and have that's only $4. Okay. You know, people's back catalog of games, you know, like virtually kept library is just, some people got hundreds and hundreds of games that they're just never going to get to play because life just isn't that long. So that convenience is what allows them to kind of just keep this conveyor belt of just things running past you. You know, our life is like that. So they got it. They nailed it. Yeah. So you went from, sort of like, did you go through a GameCube? I don't see many GameCubes on your feed. There's a lot of Nintendo, but not a lot of GameCube. Did you get any GameCube in your life?
We had a GameCube and a Dreamcast, I think, but that was kind of like when my brother was going off to college and he kind of took those with him.
Oh, what a rascal.
One of them or one or the other. And so we had those, but I only got to play them like when I was visiting, you know. or things like that. So I liked those consoles. They were great. I remember beating Mario Sunshine, you know, when it came out, and playing a whole lot of the Mario Kart and the you know, Wind Waker and, you know, all these games, but not so much on the Dreamcast. I don't remember what happened with our Dreamcast. Maybe like my dad sold it or something. I don't know. Or if it was like parked at one of my parents' houses or something. But so bottom line though, I don't have any of the old, my original, you know, a lot of people have like, oh, this is my original DMG Game Boy. This is my original Game Boy Pocket from back in the day. I don't have any of that stuff like at all. So everything I have has been purchased, I guess, in the last few years and then upgraded as I deem fit.
You've done a good job. I was looking at one here. One thing that does amaze me is when I'm familiar with a game and then I see that there was a Game Boy version of it, and I own a lot of you know, flash carts. And like, for example, I can remember playing like Super Off-Road in the arcade, like as a three-player arcade machine with three wheels and three pedals, like Super Sprint. And I'm like, that was a fun game. And I've played about four versions of that on various consoles. And I did play it on the DMG recently. I was like, oh my God, that is like janky and hard work, but they still managed to kind of keep the feel, I guess.
And it's with a D-pad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's a little bit trickier.
Yeah. But yeah.
So I owned that game as a kid, and that was my, you know, I had played it in the arcade before, but that was my off-road experience, you know?
Yeah.
I mean?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I was super good at that game.
Yeah.
But if I picked it up for the first time now, I'd be like, what the heck is this?
Yeah. 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 That's right. That's right. And it's interesting how you can get that link back to, so you played it as a kid. And so it's a little bit like, I guess it's a, without being too kind of cliche, it's a little bit riding the bike. You're like, no, I remember how this works. But like I said, if you picked up Nate, you'd be like, this is the stupidest game I ever played. Whose idea was this kind of thing? So, your DMG, like collection of cartridges, have you found some of them, like have you got any kind of real good wins where you're like, wow, I picked that one up for $5 and I knew it was worth more? Or has it been hard to kind of just, you know, that's, you're paying $20 on average and you're just chugging away?
So I haven't bought any of those in a while, and because, like I said, the prices have gotten kind of dumb. Like what I used to do is I used to buy like lots of games, you know, like a bundle of games on eBay or something a lot. The way I would like price it in my head is like, okay, I can get all these games, and then the price is at a point where I'm getting these one or two or three games for free.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times, and that's kind of how I built up my collection, is kind of getting those for free and selling the duplicates that I had to kind of minimize my cost exposure there. It's a lot harder to do that now than it was, though. I mean, you know, people are charging, you know, $80 for a Kirby Tilt and Tumble or something. I mean, like it's a little bit, not the best game. I mean, like it's unique and it's cool, and it's got an awesome like cartridge and stuff like that. But it's hard to justify some of this stuff. And I mean, looking at my page, you can see what I can justify. And I'm already saying that some of these games you can't do it with.
It only ever frustrates me when I see someone that clearly, like it's obvious, like say on our Facebook marketplace, and it's obvious they've looked around and they've seen what things are worth, but they don't really have an eye for detail. So they have a Game Boy, which looks like it's been through a creek and it's covered in grot and stuff. And they have a copy of, you know, like Super Mario Land or something, whatever. Tetris, and it again looks like it was in the Game Boy when it went through the creek, and they're like, oh, classic Game Boy spelt with a D, $250 nostalgia, right? Retro power word. And there's part of me that wants to kind of educate that person a little bit, but there's part of me is like, God bless them, someone might pay that and good luck to them. But there's the only time,
yeah, I tend to blame the buyers more than the sellers. But yeah, it's funny, I'm not to say I haven't paid more than a lot of people might call reasonable something. For something, but
yeah
if you know, and then how long do you play it for, who knows? But I think there's definitely like a whole subsect of sellers out there that that kind of take, it seems like they take exactly what it should be and then like double it, right? Yeah. Like you're saying with like the trash Game Boy, or triple it. Yeah. And it's like, where did this extra delta come from?
Yeah. There's a total red herring here, but I keep looking at my screen and seeing it. You've got a Christmas post here, and there's two things in this post. One is the Hallmark Defender cabinet, Christmas ornament. I have that one. I have that one, and I also have a Donkey Kong. Mm-hmm. And the Donkey Kong is signed by Billy Mitchell when he was here in Australia a few years back. I'm not sure you know. Yeah, so you know who this guy is? He's the villain. But you know what?
Yeah.
So what?
King of Kong, right?
Yeah, that guy. And the other thing in that picture is the Power Glove. And it's like, Power Glove is one of those things I have no affiliation with, I have no connection to, but I kind of, I'm really hoping I just find one somewhere. I don't care if it really works or not. I don't know if I've got a game I can test it on. I only own.
Well, even if it works, it doesn't really work.
No, that's exactly right. I'm not missing much.
It is an absolute flash peripheral. Yeah. I remember seeing the movie The Wizard.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
I saw it in the theater. You know that song? Yeah. And the whole movie was to debut the release. It's an advertisement for Super Mario Brothers 3. Yeah,
such a good little movie.
And then the kid, the D-bag guy with the with the power glove. It's just, you know, he's just so cheesy, just an easy villain character and stuff. So. Yeah, I think that they really went with that. And if you look back at, I mean, Nintendo's always kind of done that, even to the point where stuff doesn't work, like with the Rob the Robot at the original launch. You know, they were trying to, I think, set themselves apart from, you know, what I think was oversaturation in the home video game market. And so they really marketed it as like, oh, check out this robot that can do stuff. And, it raises the pipes in Gyromite. I mean, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, right. It doesn't do anything.
Yeah. The power glove thing, the technology there was really interesting. Like, there's a myriad of like little sort of documentary style videos on YouTube about where it came from and the guy that started it all off. And I think initially his concept was probably going to be successful, but way too much engineering for Nintendo to put it into a box and under a Christmas tree. But there was other things, like there's a chair that I've seen as well, which works on a similar sort of function where you kind of rock forward on the chair and left and right. You're like, that's not how computer games work. That's what the gym's for, you know? So it was both annoying and terrible. Like, I think I've seen someone playing like a kind of like an Outrun or something, and they're like swinging in their chair, and it's you got to have like cards of steel to get through the first round.
Yeah, my neighbor had the track and field trackpad for NES.
Right.
Have you ever seen that? That like pulled out like plastic mat.
Yeah.
And it's got these big buttons, and so it's like you're like running in place, but you like have to stomp to get the buttons to register, and so it just looks better than it just is not executed well, you know. But, I mean, I'm sure it sold consoles, you know. Yeah. So
the original Street Fighter cabinet. The original Street Fighter cabinet had like, instead of buttons, it had kind of like, I think like sort of half tennis balls, and you had to hit them. And the harder you hit them, that was how you got like your low, medium, and heavy punch. Again, a thing that was kind of cool because you get that kind of a sort of tactile interaction. But it was like a nightmare for techs to maintain because there's some sort of weird vacuum thing going on with a sensor and relays. And also, it just was like hard work, and I think everybody just wants to sit there. Like, I think the opposite of that is I've played like Pokemon Stadium on the Wii, and you don't even have to move the controller. It's kind of two buttons and a D-pad, so it's like battling any other Pokemon game. You can literally lay on your side on your couch and just move your thumb from D-pad to select to move, and then press A, and that's it. It is the most laziest game ever. So they've been at both ends of the scale, you know.
Yeah. Well, even with on the Wii, you know, they have like the bowling and stuff like that, and you're supposed to stand up and do it, but you can just flick your wrist and be lazy as you want to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, my daughter and I play tennis on the Wii, and she's like, you know, knocking vases off the shelf, and I'm just sitting on the couch, just literally like I'm just like flicking a fly off my face, you know. And she's like, stamp and do it properly. I'm like, don't have to. I got you. You can do this all day. And she's like, swinging the thing around and stuff. Did you guys get into the Wii? Like, was that, you would have been older than...
I was I didn't have a Wii until the near the end of its life cycle either. I didn't get that when it first came out either. I bought it used. I think the first thing I did was put, you know, I think that's how I kind of got over to the you know, from just emulating on a PC. I like, you know, mailbox jailbroke my Wii or whatever and put Super Nintendo on it or something. You know what I mean?
Cool. Yeah,
So that might have been one of my first forays back into the actual hardware side around that time. So that was a while back, obviously, but I think that's kind of the hook that's always kept me kind of in gaming, other than just, you know, liking games and growing up with them and stuff like that. And it's something like my brother and I always bonded over and things like that. So it's got like a, kind of just like a lifelong pull for me, maybe, but ebbed and flowed over time. But obviously, I'm kind of last 4 or 5 years, I've been more flowing, I guess.
Do you get much time to play like retro consoles and things like that? Or because I mean, some people like to, but
not a ton of time, you know, so I try to find time. No, I'm obviously modding a lot, and that's really fun for me too. I like the process of it. I like the design aspect of it, and trying to be creative and just make something super cool, or you know, that it was something that might be what people would normally think to make. But you know, I get kind of tired of making the same thing over and over again, so I kind of want to I don't want to make just although they look cool, like a plain white Game Boy Advance or something like that. It's just everything is white.
Yeah,
you know, that's a very cool device, but I've already built like 4 or 5 of those. So it's, I try to like make different style choices, but I think that not a ton of time to play, honestly. With being I have a full time job and two younger kids, so I mean that takes all the daytime hours. And honestly, our kids don't play video games. Our older son, is almost 6, and he's interested in video games, but we don't play them yet. So,
yeah, cool. My daughter's she's 11 this year, and the last couple of years there's been a bit of Roblox, which has its kind of pros and cons. I mean, I watch her; she's like a little. There's been some issues, but I think we've been pretty good to police it. The whole internet thing and games with kids it's an interesting area where you need to accept that this is kind of how it is, but at the same time, you're trying to protect them, and maybe girls more so because, you know, you're trying to minimize, you know, chats and contact and stuff like that. And, but I watch her on Roblox, and I've played a couple of times, and she's like, "No, Dad, so you need this gold doorknob, and then you swap the doorknob for a cat, and then when the cat becomes a teenager, you swap it for 3 hats, and then you swap it for a bowl of lettuce, and then the lettuce and the hats." And it's just like, she's like running this little stock market, and she's quite, I think, we've given her a few dollars worth of stuff to kind of, you know, invest, but there's definitely something in it. And her and I also play a bunch of Minecraft together. I'm on the PS4 on the couch, lazy dad style, and she's running Windows 10. And, just been Christmas holidays, and I've gone back to work and come home, and she's like, "Do you want to check out my new roller coaster?" And I'm like, "Do I ever?" And so I jump on and have a ride in her roller coaster. And this is like 15 minutes of track, just traveling around this jungle and through the lava and the waterfall and stuff, and just to know that she's kind of in her mind doing something as opposed to just learning how to do uppercuts or whatever another game, you know, first person shootery sort of thing. So I don't mind that creative side of gaming for her. I built her a little pocket just because it was her 10th birthday. I'm like, you know what, I'll build her something and she'll rip it out when we go and traveling and stuff like that. But yeah, she's also a bit of a Mario Kart on the GameCube, the balloon battle, like you're all in this little room together, and she seems to have this knack that she'll let me win 3 and then just crush my soul. So I'm not sure what's going on there, but she's got something going on. I don't think there's elastic banding balloon battle.
Yeah, she's a second lulling you in, right?
Yeah, totally. A little balloon battle shark. Yeah. I see you got some Wonder Swans and things through there too. They're so intriguing. I mean, is it going to take off, or there's just not that much of a thing for it? Or because you can still pick them up reasonably cheap, but I guess, you know, that and then the Atari Lynx and things like that, people are starting to kind of go, "Ooh, what's that? What's that?" You know, the Game Boy's been like kind of the gateway drug.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've got a WonderSwan Color. I've put an IPS kit in, and I've got a couple of Neo Geo Pocket colors. They're pretty sweet too. The limitation with the WonderSwan is that all the games are in Japanese. It never came to the United States or to English. So if there's a lot of games with a lot of text, that's really unplayable for people like me who don't speak Japanese at all.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So luckily there is a flash cart for that. You know, some of the games are exorbitant. priced. But and there's a community somewhere that kind of translates some of these games, so you can actually play. Like there's fan translations of the Final Fantasy games for WonderSwan, you know, for instance. So you can hunt that stuff down, and it's not feel too bad about it because it didn't really come out in that version of it. At all in English, so and still get some good play out of it. But that console is really interesting because it's got the fun dynamic where some of the games are vertical or they flip vertical partway through the game. And that's what really drew me to the WonderSwan. I thought that was super cool. I liked playing Tetris vertically. That was a no brainer, and it feels a little weird. The buttons are a little strange, but it's fun. I like it.
I mean, that was Gunpo Yokoi, you know, that was the Game Boy creator. He's like, I think I'm going to go over here and do this now. And he's just like, just flips the world on its side. And of course he did, because he's from another planet or something. pretty cool. The Game Gear, I mean, that's something that's really taken off now too. Is that kind of, I see you've got one, but is that something that you kind of just picked it up because I can, or you got your eye on him? And
I never had a Game Gear as a kid. My neighbor did, and it was just a total battery sucker, right?
Sure.
You know, it takes six double A's, and I don't know where these companies thought that kids were getting batteries from.
That's right.
We didn't have rechargeable batteries at that time, or not ones that were cost effective. So we're all on gas station batteries, and we're just going through these things. And you can only plug in to your car 9-volt charger as much as possible. But so I never had one of those, but I thought it looked pretty cool. I put a Ben Venn screen in one of them. I know there's several competitions and or options in some of these, and I don't try to pick favorites. I know Retro 6 does a clean screen and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And that's cool. And I'm here for kind of anybody pushing the envelope as to what the the competition is good. It drives the innovation. So I'm here for it.
Yeah. Well, I remember before you were sort of alluding to, I don't just want to build white Game Boys. Well, you picked a hobby that seems to have a new screen, three new shells, and a whole bunch of different buttons like every 3 weeks. So even if you just picked a new product every 3 weeks and ensured you didn't build with the same thing, you just build something different every time. It's phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, you buy stuff and then a newer iteration, like you get a backlog. You're talking about backlog of games. Some of us who kind of mod somewhat heavily get like a backlog of projects, right? I mean, I think everybody who does unreasonable, I guess, amount of modding has a number of projects that are just sitting around.
I think
there is a lot of innovation. I think it's all really cool.
Yeah. The OSD screen for the Pocket is probably the best experience I've had, because you kind of just pop it in and you can move it around, and it's got the pixels, and you know, I'm pretty sure. And it's sort of last year when I did one for myself and one for my wife. And I think that has been, you just do it and it kind of just does a lot of the work for you. And, you know, that kind of just keeping it simple. But now it seems to be so much, everyone wants more and more and more and more. I think what I see happening, and I may be incorrect because I don't have my finger right in the pulse, is that the actual power is becoming an issue. So they're kind of cleaning up the power rails and things like that. And it's interesting to see the Game Boy is becoming a bit like an old 72 Mustang, where some dude kind of picks it up in a paddock and it's like, I think it's a Mustang. I can't quite tell. There's so much rust in it. And let's just check the VIN number. And then like 18 months later or 4 years later and $75,000, it's a Mustang and it's shining, it's green like the 1 hour bullet, but it's not really. So much of that Mustang has been fabricated, and you know, all the hoses are made today because it's got to be legally that way. And the Game Boy is sort of becoming a little bit like that. They're taking the chassis rails and kind of like that rear coupe bit and the steering wheel and dash, and then building everything around it. It's interesting to see the comparison.
Yeah, I think there's some that are going in that direction, and maybe just as many or more that are sticking more into a more traditional direction. So I think it's all interesting. I like seeing a lot of people pushing the envelope. Quite a few Aussies over there are pushing the envelope. I already mentioned Ben, and he's actually kind of my. I think my first mod I did was one of the. What's the Game Boy Color? The smaller screens, the TFT kind of
ones he had a few years ago. Was it the freckle? They did the freckle shack or something?
Yeah, freckle shack. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I did two or three of the freckle shacks or something. That's kind of how I got my feet wet originally in doing. Yeah. And then I did a biverted backlit
DMG.
Game Boy Pocket, and then a lot more stuff started coming out. Nice. I'm gonna start branching out. Let's do it.
I mean, and Ben Venn was sort of like pretty early in the game too. I mean, I think he kind of set the standard, you know, where, you know, what's acceptable and what are people willing to do, and also what's worth producing that people are going to have a high rate of success. Because it's one thing to have this amazing laminated Dardu with a power blue blur and stuff, but if only the best of us can pull it off every time because they blew one up before and now they know that don't do that or whatever. How much fun is that? You know, like it's good to be.
Yeah, I imagine it's pretty hard to project, you know, when you're developing something, you know, who else is going to beat you to the punch, or how far do you need to put your trajectory, you know, to be able to kind of, I don't know, at least recoup some expenses that you've incurred. And, and from what I get out of it, a lot of these people aren't in it to, you know, be millionaires.
They have a fun hobby
and they like being, you know, their place in the scene and in the community. Yeah. And I think that's awesome. So I like to try to support people like that for sure.
Yeah. It is interesting when you find out what appears to be a organization is one person in their shed kind of thing. And you're like, holy cow, like you get some, do you sleep at all kind of thing, because you got a real job and kids and things like that, and there's just so much passion in some aspects of it all. And I haven't got the patience. I'm very much a consumer. I mod for myself, and you know, only if I really need to, sort of thing. What's your kind of like least, I was gonna ask before, do you keep everything, or do you mod and then sort of push stuff on? I mean, you can't keep everything. You'd have 1,000
No, I don't keep everything. No, so I originally was keeping stuff, and then, you know, you just get so much stuff, and it's like, how many? Yeah. So not to say that I don't have a ton of stuff that I somehow justify not parting ways with, but, you know, eventually something else will come along, and then I'm like, okay, well, I want to build that now, and I'm not playing this one, so I'll sell it or something like that. So yeah, I sell stuff. I don't really do commission stuff. I did just help somebody. I did just kind of build one. I kind of rejiggered one I had already built for somebody who reached out to me, but I haven't really dabbled in that as much as just built stuff I thought was cool and then sell it if I feel like it, kind of. So I'm in kind of that area. If that is an area,
yeah.
I don't know how many people do that, but
I think it's pretty common actually that people are sort of just fulfilling their own artistic calling and then ending up with a 4 or 5 and sort of going, that feels like a bit like dead money. So I'd rather just push them onto someone who will appreciate them, recoup some of my costs, and then just keep, you know, pull out some fresh canvas and keep painting. I think it's quite common. Yeah, do you have much of a, because I see here you've got like the NES top loader as well. Do you have much of a NES cartridge collection?
I did as a kid. We probably had like 60 games or something like that. It's kind of crazy thinking about it. But I've probably got 30 something games, just kind of my favorite nostalgic games that I have for NES. Yeah, so. I'm not against buying more, but they take up so much space compared to Game Boy games, for instance.
Yeah,
those 30 NES carts are taking up as much as 10 times more Game Boy games. So.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Do you have a do you have kind of like some sort of little, like some people, like the GameCube is their collection that they're really kind of, they're just trying to get as much as they can. Like, I'll buy anything GameCube, even if it's to kind of like trade it out for something else. Do you have a particular console or a line of cards that you're like, yeah, I'd like to have as many of them?
Yeah, the one I have the most of is the Game Boy and Color and Advance. Between those, I've got quite a few games. And the reason for that is because that's kind of, I have a lot of handhelds, and so it's kind of modding the handhelds and then wanting to play a lot of different games, ones I didn't get to play before that I've read or highly reviewed, and I'm like, well, what's this game, so I like to check them out like that. But we have a lot of Super Nintendo games and a lot of N64 games even when we were kids, but through moving around the country or parents or family moving away and stuff like that, we had probably a lot of garage sales and sold them for pennies on the dollar. Sure.
Yeah.
You were
someone else's. So
back when, you know, who thought those things would be worth anything, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I was just looking here at a glow in the dark Warrior. Oh, well, it's a glow in the dark pocket with Warrior Land in it. But it just occurred to me, I heard somewhere that, like at the beginning of Warrior Land, they come through and they steal all the crap from his, or he sleeps in and they steal all the crap from his castle. And I've heard that you got to, like, as soon as you hit A, he wakes up and he's like, oh, screw this, they stole my shit. But I think if you leave it, he doesn't wake up and he goes like off into this little dream world, which is like a hidden stage. So I keep meaning to like run that up and try that. I'm going to put my DMG just here right now. I remember I'm going to do that, and then I forget. So I want to see him like go into the secret stage. And I think you can kind of like stop them.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't play that game when it first came out. I didn't play it till a few years ago when I bought it. I'll go check that out later myself. Thanks for the heads up.
That's all right. I didn't play any of these games. I'm just such a kid in a candy store with love this stuff. I just don't. We had a Commodore 64 for a few years growing up, and then access to an Atari 2600 for a bit when I was sort of living with another family for a while. And that, I think I remember seeing like a Master System, and then it wasn't until maybe late high school, and I'm talking like 90s, and you know, it's sort of like mid 90s, and I'd go to friends' places to be PlayStations and Super Nintendos and things, and so it was just an interaction, pretty much outdoors kid. So I just, it's a bit, it could be like anything, like, oh, I never knew comic books existed, and you're like, there's so many comic books to just flick through, and even if you don't read them all, like, who the hell can draw this? It's amazing, and the art of it all and the sound of it all, and is it's outstanding. It's such a there's so much human resource and mind and heart and everything that's gone into gaming. We call it retro gaming, but just gaming from I just recently kind of put custom firmware on my PS3 and started playing a few games on that, like Alien Isolation, and even the cutscenes and the sort of the Uncanny Valley is like not terribly disappointing. And you kind of look back and go, from all the way back there to this, like we've kind of really ridden quite a wave. You know, tech and everything has actually developed to support gaming, and from that, so much other technology has been developed amongst society because we want to shoot aliens in 3D, you know, sort of thing.
Yeah, it's really kind of a crazy industry, and you know, not even to talk about like phone games and things like that. I mean, all the pay to play stuff, like I've never really gotten into that kind of stuff, and it's not really my area. But you're naming some of these older consoles. Like I didn't know anything about Sega. I grew up with video game consoles. I didn't know Sega existed till Genesis, right? Till Master System, right? Yeah. Mega Drive. Yeah. See, there you go. You know, yeah. Like I did not grow up in Sega. Like my neighbor had a Genesis, and I played Sonic and Sonic 2, and I don't know, some crappier games too. But You know, so I didn't have any pulse on Commodores or stuff before NES, other than, you know, Pac-Man or whatever. And then I didn't have any pulse on, you know, Lynx, any of that later Atari stuff, Sega Saturn. I didn't know anybody who had any of that stuff. Sega CD, even 32X, none of that. So I really missed out on a lot of games. And I feel like I am now, too. And I don't feel bad about it or anything. I mean, but I don't have I've never owned an Xbox. I've never owned a PlayStation personally. Mm. You know, in college, we had a PS2 or something. And my friend would just play the same first level on SSX Tricky, trying to get like some high score that's unobtainable. And I'm like, this is the boringest thing, because like you're just playing, like he's just rage quit every 15 seconds because he missed one jump that, you know, and he has to have this perfect run. Yeah. And so there's just so many games that, you know, I'm sure are good on a lot of these consoles, PS5, PS4, Xbox. You know, I just don't have the bandwidth. I mean, at some point you got to like say, okay, I don't have enough time to think about getting a lot of this other stuff. You know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I have more than enough. I have more than a lifetime of gaming I could do. And I think it's fun just to kind of, like, I think when I first started sort of, especially getting into the Game Boy, and I was like, oh man, I can just get this game and I'm going to finish it, because I think it's probably like two books I've read my whole life. I think I read The Hobbit from cover to cover once when I was younger. And I think it's like a couple of random Robert Ludlum books that I read when I thought James Bond was the duck's nuts. And apart from that, I've already haven't finished many books. And games were the same. I'd picked a game up here and there and got through a couple of military strategy RTS kind of campaigns. And that's not really finishing it, because you kind of played at a lesser level. When I first got the Game Boy, and I was like, right, I'm going to get right through this. I'm like, oh, this is hard, and I'm a terrible gamer, and I don't know if I can do this. And I pushed myself through like a couple of Metroids and things like that. And I think I then started to realize you don't have to scull every beer that someone puts in front of you. You can just take a taste and try something else and just kind of chill out and enjoy. And I was then able to kind of like sometimes I'll just come home and just play two or three hours of random, because I've got a flash cart, Super Nintendo games, you know, or a bit of Mega Drive, or see on the Game Boy, see on my flash cart, the same sort of thing. And other times I'll just play around my PS3 and find something I can play on that. You know, like I think when you kind of can spread yourself from 1989 to whatever, 2015, 2020, there's so much to just enjoy. And sometimes I worry that people are forgetting to actually just enjoy the games. I've said it before, I've sat here with my GameCube connected to my CRT and just watched the intro to 15 games and went, a bunch of people sat back after making that and went, it's ready. And they were so proud of themselves, and I'm proud of them too, because that just made me laugh. And that's beautiful, you know. And sometimes I would like other people to have the same sort of feeling of like, it can just be enjoyed. You don't have to take it so seriously.
Yeah, I like games you can pick up and kind of just play for a little bit, 10 or 15 minutes or something like that, and then jump back in at a later time. That's really where I get my gaming in. I don't really have like long game fests or any of that. I just don't have the time. Yeah. And my wife doesn't play video games, and so, you know, the Switch is cool because, you know, you can. So playing on my TV is like a. You know, I have all this capability to do, and I don't really do it that much. It's kind of funny, but and you know, I like to spend time with my family, and so I'm not really glued to gaming. When I don't play games when my kids are awake, we try to like limit the screen time with kids anyway. You know what I mean? It can be. They get locked in, man. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, even with something like Minecraft, I mean, it's addictive, right? And absolutely. And, you know, I just you know, at some point, you know, our kids will start playing games, maybe if they want to, and you know, we'll have to figure it out as we go, I guess. But
yeah, look, absolutely. I mean, we will pull our daughter out of it, especially like over Christmas. We all kind of hanging around home, and you know, in our part of the world, it's sort of air conditioning weather, so you know, I'll be in here doing this and my wife will be kind of tapping away at her keyboard and my daughter's doing that. And my daughter just watches Friends like on loop. She's learned most of the lessons of life from just watching Friends. That's pretty wholesome. I'm okay with that. There's a lot of conversations I won't have to have with her now because she's got a rough idea. But yeah, I mean, we've had times where she's done that for like, you know, a few days and you kind of got to pull her out. And there's clear indications of someone who's addicted to something and there's some aspects of withdrawal the next day. And that's where you got to be their friend and pick them up and take them for a bike ride. And, you know, we're very outdoorsy when we need to be and that sort of stuff. I was just thinking before, if you're looking for a good game for just 15 minutes of fun, I think in the PlayStation, there's a game called Tricky SSX. You know, you can just get in there and just get a perfect run. Sorry, I couldn't help that. It might be right up your alley now. My daughter and I play a bit of like original Tony Hawk, and we will sit here. It's 2 minutes. It's the same thing. The clock goes for Timmy. You see what you can rip, and we don't really know what we're doing. We're just button mashing, but you know, we're just having a laugh. And she tends to beat me somehow, which is fine. That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. So I do play some in the evenings, and my older kid watches me play for, you know, 15 minutes or something like that. So I play a lot of like the cuddlier games, like the Mario type games and stuff like that. Or and I'm playing like Ori and the Blind Forest right now on Switch. The game's a little tough, actually. I mean, and you know, to your point earlier about kids like kind of like latching on, and it, you know, he's starting to figure out some of these like hidden areas and stuff like that. So he's like, oh, you gotta go up here and stuff like that. It's pretty pretty interesting to see him kind of learning how to like problem solve and stuff through it. So I think he's getting kind of like the benefit out of it, but we don't, you know, and by no means am I like judging anybody else. That's just our, you know, kind of our journey.
Yeah, for sure.
Is that we're trying to limit it at the moment too, you know? So, but yeah, so I play when I can, but you know, I do enjoy doing the modding as well. So it's fun to see. And so I started, you know, I had so many mods and stuff like that, and I was seeing what other people were doing. And so that's why I started my page. I just kind of wanted to share with other people and kind of insert myself, try to meet some people in the community. And I've liked being part of it so far, so it's been great.
Yeah I'm still just flicking through your stuff as we're yakking. One picture I saw and I was like, oh, son of a bitch, now I feel like I want to do that, was the like five Game Boys with five different colored cameras. And I was like, oh, I thought they were all on the Christmas tree. I was like, that does look pretty good. I've got one. But again, people are working it out. You know, like a camera these days around here is like 25 and the sticker's probably peeled off. But, you know, one of our camera in good shape's around $40. And you're like, okay, I could spend $40. I mean, $40 is a lot of money. This sounds silly, but my daughter and I were at a toy shop yesterday, Mr. Toys, and there's a Ghostbusters edition My Little Pony. It's like, because they got these like crossovers, and it was like, that's
right.
Like, I don't want to be a brony. I'm not going there. If I have to own one, that's fine. But it kind of looked really cool, and I was like, you know, that's kind of an odd little thing for a Ghostbusters collection. But it was $30. I was like, $30 is $30 these days. Like, that's a third of a Game Boy, a color I'm trying to put in my collection. So you've just got to be so much pickier about where you throw your cash now.
Yeah, and I do draw the line. I mean, there is a gold Game Boy camera that's like a Zelda special that only came out in Japan, maybe.
Yeah, it ain't come.
And they've been selling this, the last few months, like, you know, a year ago, you could have maybe picked one up for $100 or something, but now they're going for like $800 or $1,000, and people, I guess, are buying them. Like, I don't know, man. It's really gotten a little crazy. There's quite a bit that a lot of people can't justify, I'm sure.
Jeez, check it out.
And one of the things I try to do with my page is I try to find like some of these accessories that are really ugly or are kind of redundant, you know, especially with backlit screens, and try to try to put them together like I did one yesterday or whenever. That's like, you know, the handy boy with the magnifier and the front light, but I've got an IPS kit, so it's kind of pointless.
Yeah. How did it actually look through the magnifier? Just like all distorted and the opposite. It reminds me a little bit of
a little bit. It's hard to get a picture of it, honestly. And with the Q5 screens, like the screen is bigger than the cutout on the accessory now.
So you're losing some. Yeah, I was looking at it now. It reminds me of that movie, the movie Brazil, and they've it's that weird kind of dystopian tech where. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the film, but the dystopian tech is sort of like, it's the future, but a screen, like a computer is like a small screen about, say, a 9-inch size screen sitting back, and then this massive magnifying glass on a kind of articulated arm. So to have a big screen, they use this big magnifying glass and kind of like a chunky keyboard. Brazil, it's a funky movie, you'd probably appreciate it. It's a lot about sort of just the way things work and the future, and there's like some neighbor gets like bagnapped by a bunch of dudes in black because there was like a problem with some administration somewhere and they got the wrong guy, and it just goes on and on. It's hilarious. It's one of those sort of Monty Python type things. Some of this stuff, they, you know, what's really weird is looking at all these like screen lights and speakers and stuff. When I got my first Game Boy, which was like an SP or the 001, so it was like pretty awful. And the first thing I did was put on a head torch. And I was like, where were head torches in 89? Like, did they not have the technology to make a head torch? Like, people have been down in mines for 200 years. That was the answer.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the best you had was like those little worm lights that come over, but they only like highlight one part of it, and then the rest of it you can't see. I'm definitely from riding in the car at nighttime, and you have to pause your game in between streetlights to come on. It wasn't until a bit later. I did actually own that the DMG Handy Boy one with the flip out. I have one now that I've made a couple posts with, but I had one of those actually when I was a kid, and it was really cool. It was gigantic, but the getting some sort of light was an absolute must, especially on the original Game Boy. But, you know, my vision right now is pretty good, especially for my age, but I can't pick the ghosting on those things. It's terrible. It's hard to see it.
Yeah, the light. It was one thing I noticed about the Game Boy light when I ran mine up, and I was like, I can see it, but I still can't quite make out what's going on. Interesting.
If you play it in the dark, it's helpful for sure.
Yeah, probably. I mean, if you could play whatever you're playing, you know, under your covers late at night when your mom and dad said you weren't supposed to be, you're winning. That was the goal, you know. It's sort of interesting, the Game Boy, like the original kind of concept was to create a thing that kind of looked a bit like a businessman's tool so that he could play it on the train or at work during his lunch break without looking like a toy. Because there was this kind of like a bit of a stigma about, you know, adults, even though that's Japan just seems to be full of adults' toys. I don't really understand, but that was the concept. And so it had that real, like, you know, it sat there kind of next to a business PC and other things, and it's why it just has that kind of crazy, sort of different to everything else everybody else was making. So what's the goal? Do you think you're going to kind of do you just keep modding until you kind of modded all the colors in the rainbow, or are you still kind of just using it to fund your collection? Or
you know, like we kind of said, there's been a lot of new projects that have been coming out and people kind of pushing the envelope. And I like to try a lot of that stuff. Like I've built an unhinged SP. I've got another slab I haven't started, but I'm working on. From, you know, Cypher. And so I think that, you know, I think it's really cool what they're doing. People are making their own, like, PCBs and boards and ribbons and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, putting different, you know, Game Boy colors into Game Boy Pockets and that kind of stuff. So there seems to be this kind of more and more stuff you can be doing. And I think that'll continue to keep my interest.
Are you talking about James, you know, and plays?
I don't need to build anything. I mean, I have enough Game Boys that I can play all the games already, obviously, right? I mean, it's still interesting for me. I think the goal is for me to just keep having fun. I'll make a post about it if I feel like it. I mean, I haven't tried to like pigeonhole myself into, you know, just Game Boys, although that's kind of the focus. But I include a lot of like consoles and stuff because all of that's interesting to me. It's just I'm not trying to. I mean, I want posts to be successful, but I mean, I'm not. I don't build something for a post. It's more like here's something I think will be cool, and then I'm going to share it. You know what I mean? I'm still interested in all the consoles and you know, a lot of different games and different accessories and different ways to play. It's always fun to find new ways to play something. So,
for sure. I think before, were you referring to like James, he plays and he's got that 3D printable pocket shell that you can put a color into? Have you seen that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, as.
Yeah. And then there's a few people doing that, that kind of stuff. So I think that's all really cool. And people making like their own components and things like that. Like for the power issues on the pocket and stuff like that, like Helder and all these other people. So I think it's pretty cool. And I definitely like to support people like that. So
yeah, it still has a feeling of a good kind of grassroots where people are just doing stuff because they want to and they know how. And there's sort of like it's not even a friendly rivalry. It's just I think I could do this. I'm sure there's a lot of conversations going on too. And what I do hear is that those that can, they can keep up with the Discord or, you know, getting on subreddits and stuff. They're kind of like, they are really working together. And, you know, for the benefit of all of us, they can either buy something pre-made or buy the parts. And yeah, I can imagine, like you were saying before, by screen, you know, evolution, like you must end up with just bits and pieces where you're like, oh, look, I'll buy two of these because you never know. And then you end up with a screen that you can't get a lens for and, they don't, you know, you don't even remember, you can't even find the instructions on how much shell to cut out to make this work. So you've almost got a little museum of just components that are no longer usable because no one knows what to do with them, sort of thing.
And not to mention like buttons and pads and all the different accessories, you know, stuff to build stuff with. I mean, I don't have like a dedicated modding like space in my house. I pack it all up every time I build something. So right. I've just got this huge like art kit tackle box that like folds open.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, this is Game Boy Pocket rack. This is color rack. This is SP or GBA rack, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's, that, you know, you just accumulate. I mean, there's so much. I like seeing people's ingenuity, whether it's painting shells or cartridges or, printing labels and stickers and stuff or building our own boards and finding new ways to do stuff. And you know, that's all, you know, those people are kind of driving the buzz, you know, or the intrigue, I think. And people like me, I think, are kind of just taking what they do and following, you know, whatever path. So I have a pretty high esteem, high regard for kind of the ingenuity and the know-how. I'm not an some kind of electrical engineer or anything like that. I had, before I started modding Game Boys, I'd never owned or picked up a soldering iron. So you know, I'm one of these people just found something that I enjoy doing and tinkering. You know, and it's fun to make Game Boys. I mean, and consoles and stuff like that. So, it's something I've gotten into. It's pretty fun.
I think it's really cool how, and I think I see this in my daughter. you know, when you pull out your tackle box and your kids are kind of like, you know, I imagine they're probably about the height where they put their fingers up on the dining table and they're kind of looking over, and you're kind of like,
right,
trying to involve them at the same time, please don't touch that. But at the same time, they're just standing there, you know, like, that sort of stuff. My daughter has seen me go through a myriad of hobbies, and there's always an aspect of DIYing and making do with what you got and then trying to find the solutions. And she does that. That's what she does now. And I think if I spent too much money on a hobby and it didn't really do much for me in the long run, at least I got her to sort of see a way of being creative. And you know, I'm sure that's having an effect on your children, seeing you open the tackle box and here it all is, and this is what we do. And you don't know, it can't be too long before.
Yeah, it looks like a, and it's all colorful and interesting looking. Oh, all the buttons and stuff. Like
absolutely,
that. It's like a candy band or something.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Yeah. I was just looking here. I wasn't sure if it was.
I think that
You go on.
No, I you can go ahead. It's fine.
No, you're right. I was just still looking at stuff here. But one thing I did see here is you've got an Easy Flash car. It's bright orange with a Samus label. That's pretty cool. From Sakura Retro Modding. That is really neat. It's a nice way to make it yours.
Yeah, that's a guy in France, I think. Or maybe it's not a guy. I'm not sure. I don't know that person personally. But make some they've been making some interesting decals and stuff most recently for the Analog Pocket. Actually, I haven't seen a lot of people doing that, and they've been doing that, so that's pretty cool. And something else they have that I don't have but looks really cool is like a if you go to their Etsy page, they've got these little pinball cabs and you can put your Switch in it.
Yeah.
And so if you get a pinball game, you can put it vertically, and it's got like the Sanwa buttons on the side and like a launcher button, and it all like plugs right in.
That's looks cool.
Super cool. That's something I definitely need, right? At some point, I might get one of those. That looked pretty cool. And that intrigued me about that place. So I had to at least order something. So I got a few different decals from them.
Yeah, nice. I'm just looking at their page now, and they've got this. It's the Analog Pocket, but I'm not sure if it's like a clear face or something, so you can see everything.
They've been doing some like front decals or something for the Pocket, so it makes it look like a DMG or something. I can't remember, or NES.
Looks like it's see through sort of thing. It looks like they've replaced the front with a clear one. That is odd.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They did like a guts. Sticker,
where
it shows like that. Yeah, that's cool.
Have you looked much into the sort of the later I feel like I've sort of come full circle, because I've got this thing, it's a retro slate or something like that, which was about 4 or 5 years ago, which was pretty much a car. It's not a retro pie like mini, but it was a similar, the dude built his own thing and stuff like that. But all these things are coming out now, which is like a DMG size with a bunch of buttons in place. Now, it would play any retro console, Mega Drive, SNES, NES, all that sort of stuff. And now there just seems to be the RG10 something something, and then this and that and the other. And it's like, I'm so glad that I don't have
China's gotten
money.
China has fully jumped in on this market. there's so much competition over there. It's cool to see. I'm not big on the Android type handheld emulators, despite what I said like earlier.
Yeah.
But I have built and own a RetroPie, and that was one of the bridges, I think, too. I thought that was really cool, and kind of the programming aspect of it. I mean, you know, it's mostly done already, right? But there's still a bit of like tinkering around to get it just how you want it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I set mine up for CRT, and I've got another one in like a home built arcade cabinet, and it was two different sort of end states, but to be able to go and fiddle around. The beauty of the one for the consoles was it was originally through like an LCD, and then when I got a CRT, I could turn all the shaders and stuff off, so it just ran so much smooth. I just went through like a HDMI to RCA adapter, and I was like, oh, okay, I feel like I'm so close. I might as well just buy a couple of actual consoles and Everdrives now And that was my tipping point, was actually seeing the game through a CRT. And maybe similar to your own experience, was like, I'm that close, I might as well just do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know, there's that, for me, there's something that just feels nice about having like the consoles around, and you know, and playing through an actual console, even if you're emulating. I mean, I'm not, obviously not against emulation. You know, I try not to if I can, but I mean, a lot of the stuff is so expensive. But I like playing through the actual consoles, and there's all the different ways you can hook it up to different TVs and the different mods to the boards where you can, you know, upgrade them to HDMI or these other things. And there's, you know, so you can kind of still do the emulation emulation, but also do the modding side of it too, where you put you know, like the loader, like there's like the GC loader for GameCube, you know.
Love it. Big fan.
I've got one of those. I got one of the ones for, I got a Dreamcast like that.
Did you put the mode in?
Huh?
Was it the mode that you used for the Dreamcast, the ODE?
I can't remember the name of it. No.
There's a few around.
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah.
It was a year or two ago, so for a bit. sorry, it's been a while.
Yeah,
but you know, so I think that you know, it's and I like trying to find ways to make some of these consoles like work with, you know, wireless controllers or something like that. Like I've got a dongle that hooks up, you know, a WaveBird for GameCube, which is one of my favorite controllers ever, to my N64.
Oh, neat!
Pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. So there's all kinds of like companies that do just even that kind of niche in the market that, you know, and they're it's pretty cool to see all that. And when I stumble upon it, I'm like, well, I always wish my Dreamcast was, I just got some sort of dongle for my Dreamcast where you can use my Switch Pro controller on it. Right. So that's pretty cool, because I was never a fan of the Dreamcast controller. It was like cool at the time, but it's not great, and it's got the cord coming out of like the bottom. It's just awkward. So.
Yeah, it is awkward. Agreed.
So it's cool to see what people are doing, and I need one of those. You know, now I need one of these.
Yeah. So. Does this sort of like retro gaming and stuff and the modding and everything, is that in any way related to your work, or are you one of those people that's like, no, it's the opposite and that's the way I like it?
Like I said, I'm not any kind of science based. I'm an attorney actually, I've got no background in, you know, electronics or just kind of picked it up kind of on a hobby level and then just started making a lot of them, I guess. I mean, you know, so there's quite, like I said, there's quite a few I still have and haven't sold, and somehow, you know, I still find places in my house to put all this stuff.
Did you do any other sort of like this, anything like this prior to the Game Boys, or was it literally when you picked up Game Boys, you're like, I guess I need a soldering iron now and I need to learn how to use it?
I think that was my starting point on modding for sure, and then you just kind of tackle bigger projects and kind of fail forward, I guess.
What did you say, fail forward?
If you're going full speed, you know, if you make a mistake, at least somewhere, that's right. I mean, what's great about, you know, there's people who make videos about how to do stuff, and you can still bungle something pretty bad.
Says this is idiot proof, I'll be the guy to test it, trust me.
Yeah, and so a lot of times, like anything, I guess, you see the finished product, but you don't see all the times that people failed to do something, right? You know, I've definitely put the wrong size screws in a Game Boy Advance SP so that it bulged out slightly from the front. You know, they have lots of different screw sizes.
Yeah.
You put the wrong one to hold the motherboard down to the front of the shell, then it like protrudes slightly and makes these little bumps by the start select buttons.
Yeah.
And so you spend all this time, or you wait, you order all the parts, you get them, and you still find some way that you're watching some video, you still find some way to like colossally mess something up and totally ruin it. It's like, well, I don't want to take this apart now, but whatever.
Yeah, there's always going to be, there's always, and the beauty of it also is that almost everything that you do, someone's done before you. So you can usually find a sympathetic ear. I mean, I built up a Game Boy Color a little while ago with a nice, one of the Samus, here, let me show you this Samus shell that 8-bit pixel dust. And I'd like waited for ages. And we actually, the original one got lost and she managed to get me a second one, or actually got returned back to her. And so I bought screens and everything. And the first screen, I had it all seated and I was sort of putting the ribbon in the back, and I then had to solder a couple of wires onto the ribbon. And I just, for some reason, was thinking this will be fine, but I soldered the wires on whilst the ribbon was on the back of the screen. So it all went together, but I didn't realize that I actually applied a bit of heat to the back of the screen. So then when I turned it on, there was this weird little like bubble in the image. Mm-hmm. I was like, you idiot. And like, I do this every day at work, but I just was in such a, I just wanted this now. And I was like, I'll do this after work and be fine. So I kind of screwed it. And then I spoke to Craig and he kind of, he's like, yeah, I got a couple of them sitting around. I'll send you a screen and a few other bits and pieces and stuff. And so he helped me out. And then I put that one in. And then when I put it in, it was kind of crooked. And I was like, I just want this to be perfect. So I'd been warned by every single person, you try and move a screen, you're probably going to break the screen trying to lift it. So I moved it and
you're going to get a bunch of dust underneath.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's so convenient now, because now we've got these like shells that are like pre-cut.
Yeah.
Like
laminated
screen, earlier. Jazzy. Before that, it was like you'd spend, or I at least would, you didn't have brackets to hold them in the right place.
Yeah.
You would just spend infinitesimal amount of time just trying to align it, not crookedly and as centered as you can. And then you get it all closed up, and then there's like a little, you know, piece of fuzz or something in the corner. It's just going to drive you insane if you don't open it back up. And then you got to get it straight again.
Yeah,
I spent so many countless hours doing that kind of stuff. So I'm here for the pre-cut shells. I'm all about the Funny Bling or a cloud game store or whoever else is making these. Yeah. Love it. Keep up the good work, China. Yeah. I love that stuff.
Yeah, most of my builds that like in that process we've talked about, actually, I can just use my like the lens is on, and you could shake it around, it would never come off. But if I use my little suction cap, I can usually pull the lens out. That's because I'm like, you know what? I don't really care if the lens is going anywhere. I can get in there and just give them a little wipe, because I probably did exactly that. I'm like, I'm not opening this again and risking it being crooked. I'm just going to peel the lens off with my little suction cap, get that bit of dust out, and I'm done with it. I don't even use the little dust thing inside anymore, because I tend to break something and I'd rather just be able to go inside my little thing and dust it off and put the lid back on it. And you know, it's just, that's just easier for a chump like me these days. It's just,
and and depending on definitely that's a helpful tool to have for sure in certain instances, but you know, I said I like sell Game Boys and stuff sometimes, and I'm even reticent to open one back up to change the button sometimes, depending on what kind of handheld it is, because you know, the ribbons and the not the wiring, but like sometimes when you close them back up, then like the, you know, the brightness settings don't work anymore or something. It's like, well, what did I do now? You know, I know I'm not pinching a wire. Like I'm very careful with it. I know my soldering's fine. But what is wrong? And then you're just buying yourself a 2-hour project to diagnose, you know, where you've got something going wrong there. So, I think, you know, opening and closing, you know, and sometimes, you know, if you get a handheld and, you know, you get new, like cool stuff to put in there, like these, these filters to filter out the screen noise, or the amps and stuff like that. But, you know, stuff comes out after, or the, the LED buttons, which are pretty cool, that I like, some of, you know, you get people like Natalie bringing those out and stuff like that, and pushing the envelope there. It's super cool. But then, like, you know, there's just so many reasons to open it back up. And it's like, it's always a gamble when you open it back up, because it was fine before. And there's going to be something that's just going to work its way back in there. And just, hey, you know, that's just kind of the behind the scenes. It's so reality that so many of us deal with, I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm much happier to be more on the consumer end. I'll build out necessity. But generally, you know, there's been a few people I've sort of said, what do you know about this screen? You're pretty good. And like, sure.
What all have you built?
Me, myself.
Have you built anything yourself?
Yeah. So I've got the GBA that I've done. That's a retro six shell with a IPA. I've done a couple of IPA pockets. That GBC, my first was this black DMG was originally a backlit bivert, which went really well. The interesting part about that was the kind of what they call them, the something rings, which was kind of like where the polarizer is touching the screen, and you get these weird rings, and you just kind of like throw a little bit of talcum powder to just make that minute separation between them, and that resolved that. I've done another DMG for my wife, because we play a bit of Tetris on cable, and she's about to crack the 100K on DMG Tetris, so she's getting there. She's pretty feisty. Like, I think I've built enough of most things to kind of like just to kind of get a fair idea of appreciation for. And the problem is, if you only build something every sort of 3 or 4 months, you get out of the loop and you're like, okay, so how's this work again? And that's when you're always going to make mistakes. But
yeah,
I'm just a hobbyist. I'm doing it for me. I've had several people kind of say, oh, blah, 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 could you do this? I'm like, yeah, I probably could. And then you kind of, and I think about 10, I'm like, look, I'm going to point you to this guy, because this guy or this girl does this every day. And you know what? They might charge you 30, 40 bucks, but I guarantee it's going to be perfect. And I'm not going to feel like I have to support you and wait for the phone call for you to go.
And they probably already have all the pieces.
Yeah.
And they have everything in hand already.
Yeah,
too,
that's,
you know,
right.
Like somebody approached me to build them. They had all the stuff that they wanted already. They had a boxy pixel, whatever. And they already had all the stuff in hand.
Yeah.
Right. So mistake number one, maybe. Right. Because then they have to ship all that to whoever's going to build it for them. But I was like, you know, go. You know, I can do it. I know, but you know, am I going to have the time to do it? And am I going to enjoy it? And is it going to be worth my while? I can just send you to this other person who's going to do a bang up job on it, who cranks these things out, you know, four or five at a time.
Yeah.
So and you know, who you probably should have just gone to at the outset. They probably had the stock in, you know, they probably had everything you wanted, and you could have just saved on the shipping the stuff to them.
Yeah. And the community is so wide that you can almost kind of like, you could probably just pop up on, I could pop up on my feed, because I get at least 20 or 30 decent, you know, modders from, you know, across the world. And I could probably go, anybody know someone that builds legit for a few bucks in Ohio? And someone would be like, yeah, go to so-and-so, you know? So it's, you can definitely, I think I was speaking to a buddy once and he was like in Germany, and I was like, man, this chick's in Germany, and he contacted her and she couldn't do it, but she put him in touch with someone that was like 3 blocks from where he was living in Berlin. So it's like, it all works out. It's like a little network.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, there's a lot of people who are kind of doing these kinds of things. It's really interesting to me just to see how this has exploded. The appreciation for kind of these retro consoles and stuff like that, and I think it's super cool. I like that there's so much kind of behind it. And you know, when I first started my page, I just wanted to share what I'm building, and there's just so many other people kind of like minded. It's just kind of resonates, and a lot of what everybody else builds kind of, you know, you draw inspiration from people, and it's it's really cool to be able to just kind of improve and try to think of new things to do and see what other people are doing and maybe get ideas or different ways to go than other people do, or just straight do something almost exactly the same as somebody else. I mean, it's all fair game, and I think everybody I've met or talked to has been super cool in the community. So I'm excited to be part of it.
That's the beauty of it, though, that, you know, a lot of people are using kind of stuff that can be just, unless it's like sort of custom made or custom painted or something. If you see something that someone's built that you like, you're like, oh, where'd you get your buttons from? Oh, where'd you get your shell from? Which screen did you use? And they're like, this, 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 and this. So you can just build it. You know, it's very rare that you can just build something identical and be able to appreciate it without kind of like treading on someone's toes, you know. We sort of like what you were saying before. It just proves that there's a subculture for almost everything. Like, I reckon if I jumped online, I could find some random subreddit about turnips. And that's all these people are into is turnips. And it always blows me away when you kind of, you just peel the top off something and you're like, what's in here? And 2 years later, you've got 30 odd Game Boys and a bunch of stuff because there was a community there. Yeah, you like them, but it was the community that made you spend all the money, you know, and kept you going and kept you interested. That's always great. I find that great. Yeah. All right. Well, look, we might start sort of wrapping it up, Matt. It's I don't know how many IPAs you've had there, but I know it's always a long day. It's a Friday, and you've had a couple of little ones to deal with, and now you're like, oh, you had a couple? Okay, you're doing well then.
Well, the second one, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, good stuff.
I'm in good shape.
Just about ready to hit the couch. And
you didn't see it, but off camera, my wife came down and brought me another one. I texted her off screen, you know.
It's going to be a foot rub involved in that, I'm sure. That nothing comes for free.
You know, you find the person that you want to spend the rest of your life with, you know.
That's right. And then you do. That's right. Yeah. All right. Well, look, sort of at the end of these conversations, I normally give whoever I'm chatting with an opportunity to do some shout outs or just plug themselves, or, you know, that can be people that you think are great that could do with a little nudge, or maybe is a particular supplier that you work with. I always throw one out there. And for me, this episode is Octo Retro Lab. It's pretty rad stuff. Like, there's a lot of, what kind of caught my eye the most was these kind of Wii conversions. So it's like a Wii-sized format, but it's got a bunch of GameCube about it. So I recommend anybody just go and have a look at it because I'm explaining it poorly. So it's Octo Retro Lab, OKTORETROLAB. That's one word. There's a bunch of, there's a lot of 3D printing going on. There's also some of these cabs that look, little mini cabs that look pretty great, but it was these kind of Wii conversions to, it's kind of like someone, it's almost like the new Mustang, you know, like the latest Ford Mustang. They've taken the old Mustang, which was a Wii, and they've made it into this new thing. And yeah, it's pretty neat. There's a whole bunch of really cool stuff going on there. So yeah, go and check it out and you'll definitely see something that you like. And maybe, you know, like we've said, you'll support, you know, a maker, a designer, a creator, and help them kind of, you know, push down another direction because you bought one of their things, one of their creations and that sort of stuff. And there's a lot more on that page. There's a bunch of good Game Boy stuff as well that's well worth looking at. But, yeah, I'll give you the opportunity now if you've got I've sort of known down a few people we've already mentioned, sort of like Nat and, you know, like Ben Van and just that Secura Retro Modding for the label on the, and they're just like little things we've mentioned. But yeah, feel free to throw out any names or yourself or whatever it is that sort of maybe you want to encourage us to go check out.
Yeah, there's so many people, but, you know, like that have been, you know, receptive and super nice for me and in the community. You know, I'm working with a couple. I'm not going to really divulge it yet right now, but I think that, you know, there's you know, personally, I'll probably just shout out to my wife for letting me indulge myself in a pandemic scenario, I guess. You know, it's one of those things where oh, you got another package in today, huh? Well, what's that? She's been super cool about it. So I'm appreciative of that and very supportive of, you know, kind of my hobby and things like it. I could be buying cars or something stupid like that or whatever, other people are super interested in, and spending probably way more money at this age of my life than
it's important that you highlight that.
So I think it's a relatively low
agreed,
you know, so to speak. I'm not some sort of huge collector either, so I don't have a lot of boxed stuff, so you know, but I do have a ton of stuff, so it is a little out of control. So I probably would, I'll throw it out to my family probably, although there's tons of people, and I think you link when you put this on your Instagram, you're going to link a lot of the people I would mention anyway, a lot of the people who in the scene who have who are much better photographers than me. I really like those pages. Those are pretty cool.
Give yourself some credit, man. I think some of the stuff you put up, well, when I say some, I'm not like saying, but some of it's terrible. I really like the variety of yours. I think when I first saw yours and I saw the fanny pack, and then I started flicking through, and for a second there, I was almost trying to work out whether you were one of those sites that just gets pictures from other people's stuff and puts it together, because there's so many different sort of styles and different, you know, like there's a clear pocket here that's sort of with all the, like the screen and stuff, the light and everything, and it's just in a black background. But then you kind of got like a Zelda cart and a tree and a few other bits and pieces. So I really like the diversity of your account. So I think it's pretty obvious that there's a lot of people that you see and sort of go, that's really cool. And, you know, we can't help but emulate each other. And I think the beauty of this community is that, you know, like I've had Mason, Game Boys in the Wild, and he's a prime example of, you want to copy me or you want to emulate me and take pictures of a Game Boy in a tree, please do, because I love seeing that sort of stuff. And it's that kind of community.
Yeah, super nice guy. I've talked to him several times. You had him on your last episode, didn't you?
Yeah, correct.
So,
correct.
So I think that...
for example, you know.
Yeah. No, definitely. And he's one of the people I think would think of with much better photography. You know, some of these people are using actual cameras, right? No, I'm just using my phone. I think that... I could probably take better pictures. I just don't want to spend the time to do that. Like, I feel like you have to like take the picture and then you got to put it in your computer and then you, Instagram isn't super PC friendly anyway. So it's like, okay, how am I getting it over to my phone and how do we cut to the chase? Right.
Agreed.
I appreciate all those different types of people who do their own thing. I appreciate your kind words about my page. I definitely do a lot of things. There's definitely some people who just post content from anybody else, and all my pictures are all original content. So
beautiful.
It's something a picture I took myself or something about myself or both. So anyway.
Right. Yeah, no worries. I just, as a total side thing, I just noticed here you've got a Wii plugged into a PVM. Like that's, is that a you're playing Super Mario Galaxy and a PVM from a Wii? I mean, like the Wii's probably worth $40 and the PVM's probably worth about 1,000.
No, it's a tiny one. So it's like an 8-inch one. I only have one of those. Like I really want to get bigger ones, but like, you know, I can't find any place locally. I don't want people to ship them to me because they're going to get destroyed. Right.
Yeah.
And those people who are selling them on eBay are like, well, yeah, I want $1,000. Like, I'm trying to spend a couple $100. I'll pay a little bit of money for something, but I'm not going totally crazy as much as I could be, I guess. But
it's crazy because the screen is like, I think the controller is actually wider than the screen. It's like one of those little 9 inches or something.
Yeah. So I have one of those, and it's just going in through RCA or whatever, probably. Like I said, I try to find different ways to like interface if I can, and so it's fun. I like to try new things, and as long as it's fun for me, I guess I don't really care if a ton of people like it, although I do appreciate when people like my stuff.
I think it's a really good way of going about it. just kind of sharing what you like, and if other people like it, then lucky them, huh?
Yeah,
it's really cool.
All right, man.
Well, look, Matt, I really do appreciate your time, and I really do appreciate your Instagram. I kind of feel like I need to spend too much money on a bunch of Game Boy cameras now because I've only got a blue one, and you've got a bunch of them sort of thing. So, damn you for that. But they're around. I'll find one here and there. It's interesting. There's actually like a number of Instagram channels out there that are just Game Boy photography.
All right. Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. This is really fun for me. And thanks for reaching out. You know, it was a surprise. I'm glad we could do it. Glad we could link up. So
yeah, no worries. We have the technology. let's use it. All right. Well, we'll wrap it up there. So, buddy, enjoy the rest of your Friday night and your weekend. And I'll see you around. And keep making me want to spend money on Game Boy cameras and Wonder Swans and the other rando stuff that I just keep doing those rad pics, like, you know, massive Game Boy fanny packs out in the woods, because that's hilarious in a way.
Yeah, definitely. I'll do it.
Did you have your lunch in that thing or something? Or because you could probably fit a sandwich or two in there.
It is large. It was made for an original Game Boy. When I did that picture, I was coming off of I had a picture. It was like a Game Boy Color on a hip clip, and it was like super. So and people really liked that one, and so I tried with the fanny pack one, and it did not do. Like I have no idea what people want. So I just try to throw, you know, when I put out reels, it's like, okay, I think this one's going to be really cool. And then, you know, like it gets like 1,000 views or something like that, which is not much on reels. Right.
Yeah.
You know, and then like, you know, 100 likes or something. I'm like, well, I thought that was really good. And then I put out something that's totally stupid and it like just blows up, and it was zero effort or something almost. And then it just goes crazy. So, I do not have a pulse on what people like. All I know is that I know what I like, so I'm just gonna keep doing that.
Yeah, I think the algorithm is doing all the work there for you. Just it only takes like an extra person to see it, and then they see it, and then they see it. I'm just looking at that picture of the Game Boy Color on the hip. Kind of reminds you of the kind of like the BlackBerry days where people kind of had them strapped to their belt and stuff. Like it's about the size of the early BlackBerries, which is hilarious. Hilarious.
Yeah, I don't remember a lot of these accessories coming out, and so it's funny to see people like still just selling new ones in the package on eBay for, I don't know, $6 or $7, $10 or something. Like, I'll buy two of those. I don't care, whatever.
You know, one of the Game Boys
I'm always on the lookout for a new stupid thing to put as my Instagram post. So.
Yeah, one of the Game Boys I got a little while ago came with like one of these cleaning kits. It's like a cartridge with the
I've got two of those. I've never used them.
I'm like, there's no way I'm shoving that in a Game Boy, because God knows
it probably works well. I've got a couple of those. I've never used them. I've still got them. I've got three Game Boy printers. I don't know. You just accumulate.
How do you go about paper for the printers, or do you not use them, or? Because I do know someone that found a solution, but it wasn't great.
I found on Reddit, I found there's a you know, Seiko, the watch brand, they make little cash register rolls.
Right.
And they fit perfectly into the Game Boy printer. Okay. So it's brand new cash register rolls or whatever that are compatible. It's like the Seiko 950 or something, whatever size it is.
Okay.
You can just get them on eBay for, you know, a rack of them for $10 or something. I mean, so you just, I'm a big fan of Google, and like all the old game, the official Game Boy, because those are just thermal printers, so they don't take ink, I don't think, you know, so it just like impresses on the paper. And so you just need certain thermal paper, and the Game Boy paper is old, so it's all burnt. But, So there's just companies that for whatever reason still make that, and it's just a matter of finding it.
So that's why, like, if you leave a receipt, I assume it's the same. If you like get a receipt from the hardware store, when you kind of leave it sitting on the floor of your car for a while, in not very long, it fades because the thermal thing sort of it all or something. It just dries. Yeah,
it just gets corrupted by the sunlight or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's sure. Neat. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. We all learned something. Well, I definitely did. So thank you. All right, yeah. Matt. Thanks so much for your time, buddy. We'll be in touch and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Definitely, man. Take care. Same to you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries.